So this morning, I want us to jump into the book of Matthew chapter 20, and we're going to read verse 20 through 28. Today, we're going to kick off a series. I'm not going to tell you the name of it yet. I got a few things I got to get under our belt first, and then after that, I'll tell you the name. This is going to be fun today. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20 through 28. You can follow along on the screens if you do not have a Bible or in the notes provided in the worship guide. It says, "Then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons, and she knelt respectfully to ask a favor. 'And what is your request?' he asked. She replied, 'In your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left.' But Jesus answered by saying to them, 'You don't know what you're asking for. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink?' 'Oh yes,' they replied, 'we are able.' And Jesus told them, 'You will indeed drink from my bitter cup, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen.' And when the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked for, they were indignant. But Jesus called them together and said, 'You know what the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different.'" That's a good line. "But among you, it will be different. 'Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time together today. We thank you, Lord, that there is something that you want to speak to every one of our hearts today. And we thank you, Lord, for the words that you are speaking from the Bible today to each and every one of us. And I pray, Lord, for your help to share this message. I pray, Lord, that it will penetrate even the hardest heart and will open our eyes to see exactly who you want us to be. So, Holy Spirit, I ask you to walk every aisle of this place today and touch every heart. Open every person here to hear and receive your word. Let our faith today grow. Let our perspective, God, today grow. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. How many of you remember from back in the day, there was this guy that put out some music. His name was Vanilla Ice. How many of you remember Vanilla Ice? How many of y'all remember the song? Ice, Ice Baby. I think we ought to play a little clip of it just for some of those. Come on, turn that up. Let him hear this thing, man. Where's it at? Stop, collaborate, and listen. Ice is back with a brand new. Oh, some of you are running. It ain't working, I guess. Okay. Man, I wanted that to work. When I was in high school, leave that picture up, okay? Don't take it off. When I was in high school, there was a guy in our school. His name was Eric. And Eric wanted to be Vanilla Ice so bad. In fact, Eric had this haircut in high school. And in the eyebrow, there's two little spots where it was kind of shaved. Those who do hair, you know this. You pay attention to this. He had two little spots where it was just kind of touched. Eric had those. And Eric would try to do everything that Vanilla Ice did. He talked like him. He walked like him. He dressed like him. Had the haircut. I mean, everything that Vanilla Ice would do, he would do. And I want to tell you, he was not good at rapping at all. It was terrible. How many of y'all had that friend that just thought he was like God's gift to the rap world? And have you seen the meme lately that says, if your day's going bad, just remember that someone from your hometown is still trying to become a rapper? This is what Eric was. Eric was that guy. In fact, he's probably still trying to be that guy. And it's just not working out. And so he was just the biggest wannabe. And today I'm going to use that story to kick off a little series here we're going to call Wannabe. Wannabe. Because I think there are some things in your life that you want to be. And sometimes we're looking at what other people are and we say, I want to be that person. And we're so in this comparison game. But I want to ask you this. Who do you want to be? Who do you want to be? Now, I'm going to use this story today to kind of set this up, and I'm going to use the scripture today to set this up, because when you read Matthew chapter 20, you see here that this mom is asking Jesus, she's given a request to Jesus that her sons could have a place of greatness in his kingdom. Now, I know a lot of moms in here, that's the kind of prayers that you pray for your kids. Am I right? It's okay to admit it because we're praying those prayers too. Of course we want our kids to be great. Of course we want them to do some great things for God. Can I hear an amen from a mama in here? Are you praying for your kids? Do you even care? So when you hear that this lady is asking Jesus, she's giving him a request, and she's saying, hey, can you give my sons a place of honor in your kingdom? And it's a huge request, but I think as a mom, as a dad, as a parent, I think those are the go-for-it kind of prayers that we want to ask for. And so we would ask, God, make my kids great because I want the best for my kids. Amen? Elbow your neighbor and say, I want the best for my kids. You don't want it. I can tell y'all not participating today. You know, we all pray these prayers of ambition. You know, the Jesus give me, the Jesus let me have that prayer. You know, the Jesus help me, the oh my God, Jesus save me. When you go fishing, you see that guy by that boat, the Jesus bless me. You feeling it? Those are some ambitious prayers that we pray, and it's interesting how Jesus responds to this request, because she's asking, I think, something pretty noble. Jesus, let my sons have a place of honor in your kingdom. And the way he responds, basically, he tells her, I don't have control over that. That's not up to me. Now, when you hear that, you kind of like, it's like a letdown, am I right? It's like, come on, God. You could do anything you want. Let me encourage you a little bit, Lord. You created the heavens and the earth. You did it all in 7 days. Bro, I think you can handle this. But the way Jesus responds, it's interesting because he begins to speak about greatness and what it looks like. And instead of it being a position of honor, he compares it to being a servant. He kind of flips the script here. We're seeking this position, and Jesus says, if that's the kind of position you want, this is who you need to be. Are you starting to track this today? And he begins to paint this picture of greatness from his own life. He begins to show what greatness really looks like through his own personal example. Now, God has given us this great life to live, amen? I mean, he has given us blessings. He has really set us up to really live a fantastic life. No doubt we all have some struggles and some things that we're going through, but we all want to live life to the fullest, and we see the potential that we can do that, and we all have a trust in God that God can help us to live life to the fullest, amen? Because there is that verse, in case you didn't know, that he came to give us life and life more abundantly, meaning life to the fullest, okay? And so whenever Jesus begins to paint this picture, it kind of contrasts a little bit with our ambitions, because a lot of us live in this whole world of what am I going to do with my life? And we're always looking for something to do. By this point, your children who are out of school are going crazy because they want something to do. Am I right? And they have said to you over and over, we are bored. And you've already told them, well, if you're so bored, you can do some chores. And they're telling you, I don't want to do chores because that's not fun. Give me something fun to do. And we're always seeking out what we're going to do. Even as you get older, you begin to evaluate your life, and you start to think, is this really what I want to do for the rest of my life? And some of you, even me saying that, you don't like that. You're like, stop, because tomorrow's Monday and I got to go back to that. I don't want to. So most of the time, what happens is we begin to look for something that we can do that's going to make our life absolutely great. And so we look for what to do, but Jesus is redirecting us to consider who we are going to be. We want to do, but he wants us to be. And I want to just throw in one little line right here. Let's not become so ambitious for a position of greatness, but let's be ambitious for the purposes of God. Amen? Let's not just think about how great it could be and forsake what God has for our lives, but let's pursue who God wants us to be with our life, all right? So here's the question. What if we were to fulfill all of our ambitions but miss our purpose? What if you did a lot of things, but you never became who God said you could be? Think of that. What if you had great accomplishments in your life, but at the end of the day, there's still something missing? There's like this feeling on the inside that you know there's more, and so you keep trying to do and do and do, thinking that eventually if you do enough, it's going to give you the fulfillment that can only come from being who God wants you to be. And it can turn into this striving life, and no wonder there's strife in our hearts. No wonder we get so worked up and stressed out, because here's the question: how much is enough? How much is enough? How much energy are you going to put into doing before you realize that all the doing isn't going to equal being who God wants me to be? And so let's break this down a little bit, because who are you going to be? And I begin to just think about, this is who we're going to be, okay? We're either going to be who they want us to be, okay? Because we're just trying to figure out what works best and what looks great. And because their life looks great, let's go for that. Let's do what they do. It looks like it's working for them. They seem happy. Am I right? It looks like everything in their life is great. Listen, I've learned this by being a painter, okay? You can paint anything and make it look brand new, but that doesn't mean that it's good. I've seen people paint over rot on their house. Seriously. They just paint it. Just spray it, just paint it. And you paint over it, and then in 2 weeks it's showing all through. But that day that it was painted, it looked brand new. And so many times we just think, I could do this to cover that, and I could do this to cover that. But eventually it all starts coming to the surface. It all starts to show, okay? And so there has to be a change that takes place. And so a lot of times we're just selling to be who they want us to be, who they say we ought to be. And we hear things on the news and all the things they scare us with and all the marketing schemes that are out there. You got to have this. This will change your life. This will do this. And we believe it, and we think, if I did that, then everything would be great. Honey, our marriage is struggling. Let's do this. And they said it's going to save it, and then it falls apart. Why? Because we're trying to do things to change things instead of becoming who we're supposed to be. Here's another, this is who we're going to be, who I want to be. And you say, well, Pastor Wade, this is a good one. It can be, but what if you're wrong? Am I right? What if you're wrong? Anybody ever failed a test before? And I mean, you know what I'm saying. Now, some of you brain people, you know, and you just think you ruled the world, but trust me, you've done something wrong in life too. Okay, I felt pretty good about myself till Thursday when I got in a wreck. All right, I was wrong. Man, I never knew an airbag worked like that, by the way. Thing scared me. Wasn't ready. And if you want to know what it smells like fireworks. There you go, just a little extra to throw in there. Who we will be, we're going to be who they want us to be, who I want to be. But then there's always the thought of, who does God want us to be? How much thought have you put into that lately? With all the ambition that you have going on in your life, have you ever thought who God wanted you to be? What he created you for? What he made you especially for in your life? Sometimes we don't think of that because of all the things we have to deal with in this life, the financial pressures. Well, I would do that, but right now, we got to take care of this. You know that thought? And so it puts us in this category of just being who we have to be. That's where we get stuck, being who we have to be instead of being who God wants us to be. Now, most of our thinking about who we're supposed to be is defined usually by our roles or our careers, okay? And so, like, if you're a mom, or a dad, or a doctor, or a leader, or, you know, maybe you hold a supervisor position, maybe you're a teacher, just a lot of different roles. A lot of times we're thinking about who we're supposed to be being defined by those roles. But I'm going to ask you this, what about who you really are? Not just your position, but what about, like, the real you? Like when you're off of work, the character, the person that you are when you're around your family. Who is that guy? Who is that lady? Who is that person? Who have you become in that area of your life? And that's really where I want to go with this, because I think you can be a mom. I think you can be a dad. I think you can have a great career, a great position, but that doesn't mean that you're a forgiving person. That doesn't mean that you love people. Just because you're a mom. Listen, I've met moms before who do not love their kids. You say, I don't think that's possible. I've met some moms before who do not love their kids. I've met some dads before who just took off and left. They're a dad. That's their role. But that doesn't mean that who they are is fulfilling the role that they have. Are you grabbing this today? And so you can chase positions. You can have roles. But that doesn't mean that you are who you're supposed to be. It doesn't mean that you're being godly just because you have a position that would require godliness. Are you hearing this today? Elbow your neighbor and say, I think he's talking about something here. This is good. So Jesus says something in Matthew 20, even though he has the role and position of Lord. Okay, so this is like an official title. This is like big shot status here, okay? He is Lord, and not only is he Lord, but he is the Lord of Lords. Okay, so we're talking like top dog, okay? King of kings, Lord of lords. And in his role, he uses it to say that you got to be a servant. In fact, it even says that he didn't come to be served, even though his role as Lord would require us all to serve him, but he came to be a servant. Pretty smooth, am I right? Because his character gives him authority. Are you grabbing this? There's a little oomph behind it. And so whenever he teaches, people listen because he has a life that backs up his role. A lot of people have roles, but they don't have anything to back it up. They just got a lot of this. You ever had that friend that was all talk? I had a friend once who always told us what he was going to do one day. And he's older now, and he's never done any of it. And you know what? I saw him recently. He's still talking. I'm like, son, shut it. I know you don't say that in your house, but we ain't at your house. So in this story, Jesus has given us a picture of his character. Now, as followers of Jesus, our greatest ambition should be to become like Jesus. Amen? Can we all agree to that? That our greatest ambition above anything and everything in our life, our greatest ambition should be to become like Jesus. So watch this. You can be anything in your life that you want to be. Come on, let's go Disney this morning. When you wish upon a star. I mean, dream big, y'all. You can be anything that you want to be. But in order to be like Jesus, we must choose to be a servant. See, I'm a wannabe. I want to be a servant. That's who I want to be. I want to be known as a servant of God, because when I stand before him, this is what I want to hear him say. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on, somebody. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on, say it loud. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You can be anything you want, but if you're going to be like Jesus, you got to be able to say, I want to be a servant. So let's break this down. How are you going to be a servant? And this is a very open question, because I think everybody agrees with the concept of servanthood. Am I right? Come on, am I right? Anybody awake out there? We agree with the concept of servanthood. But listen, even though you agree with it, doesn't mean that you are a servant, okay? There are some actions that has to take place. And this morning, I just want to kind of teach a little bit and kind of open this thing up to help us understand what servanthood, what it's going to require of us to truly live out being a servant. And not, watch this, and not just doing the church thing. Amen? Not just doing the church thing. Because a lot of people are doing the church thing, but that doesn't mean that you are a servant. Thank you for helping me preach. So how do you be a servant? How to be a servant? Number one, the first thing is this. You have to open your heart. See, servanthood, it flows from the heart. It's not just an idea. It's not just an intention. It's a matter of the heart. Are you grabbing this? Because you have to consciously choose to do this, because this is a humility action. This isn't glorious. This is choosing to take the low road. It's choosing to take the road that is less traveled. And most of the time, we prefer to travel where everybody is, except whenever we go on vacation. We don't like the traffic. But in the course of our everyday life, just put everybody going in that direction. I'm going that way. You know why? Because we're afraid of being wrong. And we're afraid of being alone. Come on, somebody. Servanthood, it flows from your heart. And I've learned that what's in your heart determines your words, it determines your actions, it determines your opinions, it determines your perspective. If it's in your heart, it's dictating a lot of things that are in your life. So Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, it says, "For as he thinks in his heart, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." The way a person thinks in their heart, so is he. So this is why I say you can agree with servanthood or you can just do the church thing. I've seen a lot of people who just do the church thing, but eventually when the pressure's on, what's really in their heart comes out. Seriously, what's really in their heart comes out, and you start seeing the anger. You start seeing the impatience. You start seeing the lack of tolerance that they have. You start to see the lack of compassion. It looked good when it was the church thing, but now you're putting a little too much pressure on me, and what I got inside is starting to show, and I don't like my stuff to come out and show. Come on now. What's in your heart? What is the condition of your heart today? If the Lord was to examine your heart, would he see servanthood in there? It's a test. It's a struggle. So I think about being a servant. I think about opening our heart. And this is some wannabes I think about. I want to be compassionate. Amen. I want to be humble. Come on, I feel pretty good about myself. I'm a raging Cajun, so I got a little bit of Cajun confidence. Come on, don't act like you don't have some. I know some of y'all. You're extremely confident, and you think you're always right. Me too. That's why we can clash a little bit. Come on. I want to be humble. Amen? We love humble people. I want to be humble. I want to be helpful. Then this, I mean, if your kids turn out to be compassionate, humble, and helpful, you sitting there saying, "Man, I did good." Am I right? I mean, if someone were to talk about your kids and they say, "Man, I look at your kids and they're just compassionate people," and you're like, "Oh, of course they are." It's that daily impartation. They're helpful. Yes, they are. I've been helping them all my life. That's why they're so helpful. But are you grabbing this today? If they were to describe your children that way, you would be proud of them. And you would be thankful that they turned out that way. Here's the question. Is that what's in our heart? See, in all of our ambitions and all the things that we're chasing, are we stopping to say, "I want to be compassionate. I want to be helpful. I want to be humble." Or are we just so caught up with everything going on in our life that we, that's good stuff. But I just got a lot to do right now, so I can't think about that. I want you to hear that statement. I got a lot to do right now. So I can't think about that. Who are you becoming? See, this is why we need Jesus to change our heart. Because he knows what's inside. I want you to know this today. What's in your heart, he sees, he knows. Now, you can take that from the perspective of fear, or you can take it from the perspective of comfort. Because with Jesus, you can finally be who you really are. Amen? You don't have to fake it with Jesus because he sees through it. So you can be who you really are, and even though he knows who you really are, he's willing to help. Amen? He is willing to help you even though you hadn't thought about him in a long time. You showed up for church today, "I guess I better go. It's been a while, Jesus." And you're like, "Man, I hope you ain't mad at me." He's glad you're here. And so are we. Amen? We need Jesus to change our heart. We need the Holy Spirit to fill our heart. And what does it say in Galatians 5? That when the Holy Spirit fills our heart, this is what comes out. Love, Amen. Joy. That's what comes out. Peace, patience, meekness, self-control, righteousness, kindness, gentleness. This is what comes out whenever we allow him to fill our hearts. But watch this. If we're so focused on all the things that we have to do, you look at that list and you say, with all the things I got to do, the opposite is happening. Because I don't have much self-control when all this stuff's going on, Pastor. I need to put some people in their place and I'll do whatever it takes to get them on the straight line. Come on, don't act like you ain't ever acted like that. What are we doing? Are we, Lord, come and change me. Lord, come and fill me. What if we lived our lives every day saying, Lord, I need you to change me. I need you to work on me. I need you to fill my life so that what comes out and who I am becoming is who you want me to be, and I'm full of love. Come on, how many of you can use a little bit of joy in your life? Perhaps we're trying to do things to get joy instead of being. Come on. So if we want to be a servant, we must open our heart to the Lord. Let him come in and change us. And that process is all about surrender. I want to be a servant. Amen. I want to be compassionate. I want to be helpful. I want to be humble. Here's the second thing. If I'm going to be a servant, not only do I have to open up my heart, but I also have to, watch this, stretch out my hand. I have to stretch out my hands. See, serving is more than an idea. It's more than an intention. It's an action. And a lot of times we agree, but are we willing to act upon what we believe? Do you act? Is there action to your beliefs? Is there some conviction that leads to action? Or is it just a lot of opinion and a lot of talk, and you can sit there and you can talk about it all day long, but what do you have to show? Come on now. See, many people agree that it's good to serve and that we should always be willing to lend a helping hand. We agree with that, but do we act upon it? I've learned that serving is stretching. Amen? It's stretching because it stretches your time. It stretches your patience. Come on, am I talking to anybody here? Stretches your tolerance. When you have to work with other people, it can stretch you a little bit because you may have to work and serve along somebody that you do not like. Ever been there before? You ever help somebody and you can just absolutely say, I don't like them? Come on, can we just be real at Emerge Church? Or do we have to polish it up and act like we're all like perfect Mr. Rogers, you know? Come on, how many of you, you got somebody you just do not like? Now, if it's somebody sitting next to you, stop. Just stop. Pray for you. I have to get Cynthia to come pray over y'all. Think about this. Moses in the Old Testament, who's one of the key leaders in the Old Testament, he stretches out his hands over the Red Sea. And the waters part, and he leads an entire nation into their deliverance. Jesus Christ goes to the cross and stretches out his hands and provides salvation and deliverance for every one of us. What if we stretch out? What if you stretch out at home? What is it doing for your family? Come on, husband and dad, who is feeling unappreciated and a little bit angry because you can't get no peace around here. Come on. What if you just stretch because you know it can make the difference in your kid's life? It can make the difference in your family. It can make the difference with the people that you work with every day. Come on, am I talking to anybody? Come on, all the ladies in here, I know you feel like you got so many things to do, and you just say this, I'm stretched all the time. Maybe that is the position that God has you in so that deliverance can be brought to your house. Come on. I think about Jesus dying on the cross being stretched. Was he sitting up there saying, oh my God, I got so much to do. All these people. Look at that. I'm hanging on the cross, and that dude's back there stealing a purse. I will come down. Wait, I can't. Think of that. He's stretched. Serving is stretching. When you're serving your children, it's going to stretch you. When you're serving your wife, it's going to stretch you. When you're serving your husband, it's going to stretch you. When you're serving in the church, it's going to stretch you. And stretching leads to growing. Amen? And we don't like the stretch because it's not comfortable, because we just want relief. And we trying to figure out, just tell me all the things I have to do so I can be finished. And I learned this, that stretching never ends. It just keeps going. And so I've got to create a new mindset that I understand that stretching is good because it puts me in a position to serve. And serving is what brings about greatness. Can I hear an amen? But we don't like it because I got other things I'd rather do. Notice what I said. Other things I would rather do. And so we forsake being who God wants us to be because we got other things that we want to do. But then we complain about the results. Happy summer, everybody. Many times our hands are tied up, so we can't stretch them out. We're too busy. Our priorities are focused on ourselves, and so we won't stretch to serve because we got to do this. And there's so much that's going on, and people say, I don't know how you do it. I don't know all the things that you got to do, because it's not what I do. It's who I am. Are you grabbing this? It's who I've become. It's who we have to become. And when you become it, it no longer stops. It just flows out of you. And that's why we got to open up our heart. If we don't open up our heart, you'll never calculate it with your mind. You always think we can't. Always. But when you open your heart to the Lord, it changes who you are. And you realize, I am a servant. It's what I do. So not serving is not an option. It's just what we do. It's because that's who God wants me to be, and I'm a wannabe. I want to be a servant, amen? I want to be available. I want to be flexible. I want to be willing. Come on, you're hearing this today. Again, if someone were to compliment you and say, this guy, he's just willing. He's always willing. He is always available and always wants to help. He's flexible. He always just tries to find a way to make it work. These are the people that we applaud, and we look at them and we say, that's an incredible person. Here's the question. Are we becoming that person? Are you that person? Is there some flexibility in your life, or have we become so rigid because we've got so much to do? Let me say this, if you don't have time to serve, you are doing too much. I need a better amen than that. I know you don't like it, and it's summer. We should have preached this in January, but it's July. We can become so busy doing what we have to do that we no longer give time to being who God wants us to be. I'm thankful for people who stretch themselves every week here at Emerge. You know what? I'm thankful for those men and women that stretch themselves every week watching your kids. I am, and you should too. Some of you, this is the only peace and quiet you get in the week. That's why you keep coming. I don't like the church, but I'm glad they do something with my kids. I don't think you think that. I just heard somebody say it once. I'm thankful, though, for those ladies and gentlemen who serve week in and week out. Those men and women who come every week at 7 a.m. and set up and tear down. Come on. That's awesome. Stretches them. You think they like waking up that early? Nah. But aren't you thankful that they do it whenever you bring that friend that's been out of church forever and you told them, man, my church is awesome. You walk in and it looks right and it feels right. A little chilly up here in the front because it's good AC. But we're thankful for it. We're thankful that they stretch. You're thankful for those ladies and gentlemen that watch the kids. For that dude that made the coffee today, amen? Come on, you're thankful for him. You might want to give him a hand. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't that good. I don't know. Stretch him. You know, I think about my life. There was a lot of people who stretched for me to experience Jesus. There's a lot of people who stretched to help me to realize who I could be. And I'm so thankful that they were willing to stretch, that they were willing to serve, that they were willing to go early and stay late, that they were willing to watch some kids. Listen, there were so many people that watched my kids that played such a huge part in me becoming who God wants me to be. I'm telling you, I pray that their reward in heaven is so great. And sometimes we don't think that stuff is significant, but there's always significance in serving. Always. Are you serving? Are you stretching? You say, Pastor, it would be a stretch for me to serve. And you know what I would tell you? I know. You're right. But that's why you should serve. So if we're going to be a servant, we've got to open our heart. We've got to stretch out our hands. But number three, I think, is huge. Because becoming a servant means making a difference. It's making a difference in a person's life. You see, serving changes people. And the first person that it changes when you begin to serve is you. That's the first person that changes, because you finally reached a point where you start to taste fulfillment, because now you realize that in all the things that you were doing, you thought it was going to give it to you, but you found out that by becoming a servant, the fulfillment began to come. And I want you to know that is a high like unlike anything else. It is such a rush. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, listen to this. It says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden." And Jesus is talking about the church here. And he says, "No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on its stand, where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way," watch this, "let your good deeds shine out for all to see." Let your good deeds, let your servanthood shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. The heart of servanthood is this: I want to serve my Father. I want to set him up so that everybody around can see him and his greatness, because I am convinced that he can change their life because he's changed mine. Are you hearing this today? You see, if their hearts can be changed, if their heart can be changed, their life can be changed. And listen, it's going back and remembering. I remember the day when I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. When I opened my heart, he changed me. And it wasn't just a to-do list. It was a becoming list. He had a good plan for my life. And I just positioned myself to be everything that God wants me to be. And I'm still working on it. Amen. But along the way, because I walked in the steps that he had laid out for me, I'm beginning to find that all the things that I can do cannot give me what comes from being who God wants me to be. Can I hear an amen in here today? I want to be a servant. I'm a wannabe. Amen. Who's a wannabe in this place? I just want to be a servant. I want to make a difference in somebody's life. I want to see people come to Jesus. I don't want my life just to be filled with entertainment, but I want my life to be full of purpose. Amen. And I can't be too busy to not take care of the purpose for which God has created me. I've got to be intentional about it. I've got to be serious about it. I have to rearrange my life around my purpose instead of trying to make my purpose fit into my life. What comes first, the potter or the clay? See, I'm the clay. I can't tell the potter what to do. I'm in his hands. He's shaping me. He's molding me. Whose hands are you in? See, people need to hear about Jesus. But they also need to see him. And when we serve, we put action to the very gospel that is preached. When you begin to serve, people start seeing a picture of Jesus. We call him Lord, but we got to show him what he means when he says Lord. When he says Lord, what he means is servant. Amen? See, in the world's eyes, when they say Lord, it means boss. But in the kingdom, when they say Lord, we see servant. This is what I realized. When he set up the church, he set up a community of servants. That's what it is. The church isn't just a place that people attend. It is people who serve. Did you see this week in the news down in Panama City Beach? There was the family that got caught in a riptide, and was getting swept out to sea. And there was that lady that saw them, and her husband recognized, so she jumped in to swim out there. She was a strong swimmer, and her husband, while she was swimming out there, gathered people together, and they grabbed hand to hand and stretched all the way out to this family and pulled. I mean, how dare you interrupt my vacation? I worked 60 hours a week, and I came here to have some peace and quiet, and you want to go swimming in a rip current. And now I got to get up off of my chair. That's not the thought. The thought is, these people need to be saved. What do we have to do? You see, the doing came out of the being. There was a compassion that propelled them into action. And so when that guy said, hey, we got to save them, come help me, come help me, come help me, they linked together. And you see the pictures on the screen where they joined together and they saved the entire family. And when I saw the picture and I heard the story, I thought to myself, this is what the church is to the world. This is what we were meant to be to the world. We have a compassion. Come on. We got some attention. We're paying attention to what's going on. And there are people who are losing their life. They're drowning in the sea of sin. They're drowning in their worries. They're drowning in their sorrows. And God has called you and I to be a servant where we link arms together. Come on, church. We're a community that links arms together to reach those who are dying, who are lost, so that they can be saved. You got friends that need to be saved. You got family that need to be saved. And so we need a church, some people who say, let's lock arms together and let's reach those who are lost. Amen. That's what servanthood is all about. So when you come to church on Sunday, even though there are people scattered out all over the place, actually it's people linking arms together, because there are kids back there being taught and being taught the word of God. People in here experiencing the presence of God. When you came in the door, somebody was shaking your hand, welcoming you to church. They fixed the coffee before you even got here. All these things, what are we doing? We're linking arms together to reach you. And the point that we say, I got too much to do to be a part of that, that's the point where we got too much to do. Because we are forsaken who God wants us to be for the things that we want to do. See, a message like this would cause a little conviction. Am I right? It'll mess with us a little bit. But perhaps today the Lord is saying, I want you to be who I planned for you to be. I know you got things going on. I know you got a lot on your plate. I know you're worried. I know you had that happen not too long ago. But it doesn't change who I have planned for you to be. Can I get a good amen in this place today? I want to be a servant. Come on, I want to be. Anybody else want to be a servant? Come on, you don't want to be vanilla ice. You want to be a servant. Ice, ice, baby. Let's be a servant. Let's have a heart for people, and not just for what's going on in our life, but let's have a heart for what's going on in God's kingdom. Seek first the kingdom and all these things added to you. Let's bow our heads this morning. Jesus, thank you for your word. Lord, I just pray more than anything today that we will be convinced that you're calling us all to be a servant. Yeah, there are roles that we want to fulfill. We even have ambitions, but at the end of the day, we want it to be said about our character that we are servants. We want it to be said about our church that we are servants. So Lord, today we humble ourselves. Instead of thinking that we're all that and we're so great, Father, today we count it a privilege to be considered a servant in your kingdom. That you would call your sons and daughters and give them the opportunity to make a difference in somebody's life, just like you have made a difference in ours. Lord, today I just pray that our hearts would be full with you. And while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I want to ask this question, because maybe some of you, you're evaluating your heart, you're looking at your life, and maybe through the message you're challenged a little bit, because maybe you're realizing I'm not where I need to be. I'm not in that relationship with the Lord. Maybe your heart, instead of it being full of the Lord, it's full of yourself. It's full of all these activities, and you're realizing, man, I got my heart in the wrong place, and I need to surrender my heart to the Lord and pray. Perhaps you've never heard the gospel message that Jesus could forgive your sins and give you a fresh start today. This morning, I want to open that door and give you the opportunity to pray and give the Lord your heart and allow Him to come and fill your life and give you that fresh start that you're longing for. And so if you're here this morning and that's you, in fact, I just want us all to pray this prayer together. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I want us to pray it together, but we're going to pray it out loud with you. And if that's you, I want you to pray it out loud with us. This is your church family. We're locking arms right now. We're serving one another. We're helping each other because we want to reach you. And I want us to pray this prayer together. Say, "Dear Lord, I thank you that you love me and that you stretched out your life so that you can reach me. And today I've heard the good news. I've heard of your love. I heard that you would give me a fresh start. So today I give you my heart and I ask you to make me a brand new person. I ask you to come and fill my life and replace my old ways with your ways. Today I make a conscious decision and I choose to follow you. I'm willing to rearrange my life to live it your way. And I thank you, Lord, that you would choose someone like me to be forgiven, to have a fresh start. Today's the first day of a new beginning in my life. I'm all yours, Lord. I'm committed to you. I commit to your church. And I thank you that you're making me a new person. In Jesus' name."